We're going to have two scriptures. You don't have to go to the first one. The main text is going to be out of Romans chapter 8. It'll be verses 5 through, well, God only knows how far down. But I know at least to 11. But the preliminary scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The reason I believe that was brought to that was because that seems to have been a theme which has been predominant for quite some time now, not just here, but I've noticed that in a lot of home groups, also on television, and Mary and I are always discussing the new here, the old gone. I believe we even touched on that on Sunday, didn't we? Briefly. And it seems to be something that the church is finally waking up to. That upon the acceptance of our Lord, that who we were no longer technically in the eyes of God exists, always exists in us, because we look in the mirror, we see our faults, we see who we are, who we would like to be, but we always remember who we were. And it's been many of miscarriage of justice toward ourselves. Because Christ did not see who we were. The Father doesn't even see that anymore. He sees us in our perfection. I said it to Bob here last on Sunday, because I had a word for him when I prayed for him. And it was the same word that was given to me some time back. And it was, I do not see you where you are today. I see you at the end, at the finish line. That's a victory. God does not see us where we are now. Does not see us when we fail. Although I'm not saying he's not oblivious to it. But he looks at the end. He knows the finish line. He knows where we're going. And he knows what he has for us. And that is where he sees us. So we get up like, I'll be honest with you, 4 or 5 years ago, if someone would have said you're going to be up in front of a bunch of people you don't know, and there are some people here I really don't know. I know you, some of you I know more intimately than others. But, and you told me I was going to be preaching, I would have said, forget it. I am not qualified. I don't know enough. I'm not educated enough. Forget it. Here I am. You know what? I'm still basically the same person. But where's the difference? It's not who we are then, or who we are now, or who we are tomorrow, but who we are in. You allow the Spirit to work. You don't need the education. Ask Joyce Meyer. You know what I mean? I know there's a few people here that listen to her. I don't know how many, but I'm just curious. I don't normally do this. How many people here have accepted Christ into their heart and are Christian? Just go ahead. Very good. You seem to have a capacity crowd. That is great. So I'm just saying that because now that we're all Christians, the old has gone away. The new has come. Correct? We're getting there. Okay. So now we go to Romans chapter 8. I seem to find a lot of people who seem to identify still with the sinful man that they were, the sinful woman. I don't care what kind of pretext you put it into. I'm going to start out. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That is great. Paul talked about this, obviously, because he wrote the book. But further on, he elaborated. We know what the Spirit desires. We know, as we go along, what is necessary from God. I'm trying to see how I can word it. But we'll end up, our flesh will usually get in the way. I mean, how many of you have found this to happen? You know, like, you will be up and running and raring and ready to go. Everything's all cool. Then it's time to sit down. It's your time to read scripture. It's your time to meditate on the Lord. And the next thing you know, your face is in your Bible and you're drooling. Why? Because all of a sudden you're asleep. Is that from the spirit? No. That is from the flesh. That is your body trying to shut down so that your spirit person, your spirit man, does not get the fuel and the energy it needs to get draw closer unto God and to take what? Control over it. Your flesh is at war with your spirit because it's been in charge for more years. Only each of us knows how long our flesh has been in charge over our spirit. And it does not want to relinquish control. So, in a nutshell, it wants to sleep. It wants to eat. It wants to think its own thoughts. It wants to drink what it wants to drink, when it wants to drink, and how it wants to drink it. I mean, people sit there and say, oh, you're full of it. I am not. Look at our prison system. They're full of it. People doing what they want to do. How they want to do it. And the rest of us just haven't gone to that extreme. You know, but it's all there. We all do it. You think it, you've done it. Jesus said so. You look at a woman lustfully, boink. Okay, guilty as charged. So as we go down, now, the mind of the sinful man is death. Now, most people stop there. Yes, it is death. You start living according to the flesh, you will reap what the flesh is sowing out. But they don't continue on. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful man is hostile toward God. Okay? Why is it a lot of times when I hear this particular passage preached, they blow right over the mind controlled by the Spirit? They neglect to bring that out in its fullness. They just say, you're bad, you're sinful, you're going to die, you need resurrection power, you need. Why did you skip over the center line? But to me, that one little phrase in there, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's showing you that there's another way. There it is, boink. Right in between two negatives, there is that positive to say, wake up. It's here. Christ has done it for you. We'll continue on down. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. That we know. And those of us that are born again and fail, and that sinful nature comes up, what's the first thing it does to us? We condemn ourselves. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. First thing you do is you want to slap them upside the head because they're not as good of a driver as you are, by God, even though the person behind you is honking because you're too busy being mad at these other people, so you're not moving on. We're all so perfect, aren't we? And then after you get through that, you've got someone in the passenger seat that says, you know, this is a test. Do you really think they're that way? And you're like, oh, shut up. You know, why are we all giggling? I noticed the Connecticut driver is laughing the hardest over there. But the point being is that we, afterwards, when all things settle down, some of us will sit there and kick ourselves brutally for doing what? Being a human being, making a mistake, and not allowing, and the Spirit of God has not totally control this body yet. We're not the perfect bride yet. We're not without the spot or the wrinkle. My God, I know there's a lot more ironing that has to be done on this body. But the point is that we are achieving the goal and we're going forward in the goal. And when we blow it, repent, forgive ourselves. Forgive ourselves and then move on. Then the next time it comes up, it won't be quite so bad. And if you don't think it won't come up, yeah. And eventually, we will be more pleasing to God, because as we know here, the sinful nature cannot please God. Does not mean that God is not pleased with us. And I thank him for the fact that his son came and that his blood covers us. So he does not see us anymore, but rather Jesus is there as that filter. Otherwise, where would we be? We already know. The scripture already said. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. That's 9. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Well, that makes sense. So now, if you have accepted Christ, if I read this correctly, technically we're not controlled by that sinful nature anymore. Is that what the text says? Yeah? So what happens? What happens to us? Again, we get behind. Every time I use a driving scenario, I keep on thinking of that old Disney cartoon with Goofy and Mr. Hot Rod. He gets behind the wheel and all of a sudden he's this big, ferocious Connecticut driver. All right, I'm sorry. I should be picking on the people from Rhode Island. But anyways, we tend to get in that mode and in that fashion where we do end up, we get into the flesh. I don't care if it lasts for a half a second or a half an hour. We're in it. People try to help us. That's the one thing they really, it's like, come on. You're already in the flesh. You don't need super Christians saying, hi, you're making a mistake. No kidding. I mean, how many times have our loved ones tried to help us? And it's like, get away from me now. Just leave me alone. Reason being, A, I'm not in the mood to be helped. B, I already know I've blown it. C, you're too close to me to do anything about it. Just let me blow off my steam, and this is good for everyone. Those of you that have spouses and they come up in here, let them simmer down. Then, later, if they come to you, fine. If not, just let the Lord deal with them. I know he works so much more harsher with me than she does. When she tries to help and point out, hey, this is the direction, we usually end up having a wonderful discussion, don't we? Oh, yes. We are so blessing each other, because we all end up in prayer in separate rooms in a different state for several weeks. But if anyone does not have, right, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Well, fantastic. I've heard that preached out. You're all going to die because of your sin. But, thank God, your spirit's alive because of the righteousness of Christ. And they will spend 2 hours harping on the sin. And that's about the extent that it goes, neglecting the next verse, which I think is so cool. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Well, why do we always forget to add that little line in? Your body is dead because of the sin. But yet, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who is in you, is going to give that dead body life. But most people forget that one. By the way, that's 11. Verse 11. I mean, we've all read through this. We've all read through it time and time again and breezed over it. The other day, what brought this whole scenario out was a friend of mine online had put in a little deal on my little group on Facebook. I know he mistyped. He typed in something about he about how Christ had saved him and all that, and he was grateful to be a sinner. Well, I know it was the way the wording was off, but another person who was very close to me come on and said, "Young man, that don't make sense. How can you be grateful to be a sinner? You're a new..." What they had was a theological fight. So I ended up going, the Lord brought me to this scripture, and of course when I reread it, and I got down to there, I was like, yeah! You know, it came alive in me. It wasn't just the logos of the word. It became rhema, living. It jumped out. And the end result is that the argument was instantly quenched, put out. Both of them liked what was said and the quotation and all that. And but it's the big thing for me is that, verse 11, it just amazes me that though these bodies should be dead, the Spirit of Christ is in there, rejuvenating them. Rejuvenating. Making them better. Keeping us alive. Not just as we are. I mean, look what happened with Abraham and his wife Sarah. What? Two leaders wanted his wife, and she was in her 90s. Think about that. He renews you. This lady over here was told, I can't tell how many times from people we used to go to church with, you look younger. That we go over there, I can't believe how much younger you look. Is it because we are getting younger? Not age-wise. But because of that promise from God. Right here, and under the Abrahamic covenant, he is maintaining her. He's making her look younger. He is making her, and you, each of you, even though you may not feel it, he is doing that if you will, what? Expect it and accept it. Two pagan rulers wanted Sarah. And of course, her husband, being the man he was, said, "Yeah, she's only my sister. Take her. I don't want to die." You know? But we're not here to judge anybody. We're here to take a good look at what is going on in the spirit, what the Lord is doing for us. So, I refer to this scripture. I used to refer to it a lot. I'm going back to it now with a new renewal because I get up in the morning. And not that anyone ever has this happen. You get up and your body says, "Nope, slow it down, kid." No, I'm not going to slow it down. That is a trap put out by Satan. I'm getting up and doing. No, I'm not 18. But I'm not in the grave either. And from what I can tell, nobody else here is either. No way. So, I would say, reread that scripture, especially verse 9 through 11. Really slow and really meditate on those. Give it a good portion in you. And if you have to, go back to 2 Corinthians 5. And I can't remember the verse. How do you like that? I just pulled out of my head. 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Your spirit will eventually force your body to conform. And it's not just your spirit anymore, because it's the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead within you, empowering that spirit. So just remember that, cutie, when you're out there and someone says, "So do you really believe in that Jesus?"